Attention. At this moment, you are now listening to
a Radio 1 show.
Next time you're at the checkout and you hear the beep, think of the fun you could be having on Supermarket Sweep.
Fist of Fun.
Coming to you from Greenwich University.
Thanks, I'm Stuart Lee.
And I'm Richard Herring, and welcome 1FM listeners joining us here at Greenwich University to Fist of Fun.
Fist of Fun.
This week sponsored by McCain's Southern Fried Chips.
Great. But what have McCain's done to it?
Well, Stu, they've given it a crispy Southern Fried coating.
And what difference is that going to make to the listener at home, Rich?
Well, none whatsoever, Stu. It's going to be the usual collection of vaguely topical material, culled from the experience of two blokes who think that the lunchtime edition of Neighbours is the cutting edge of contemporary news events.
And the show tonight there started with a homage to the TV quiz that has grabbed the attention of every early morning television viewer, Supermarket Sweep. Supermarket Sweep has got more excitement than the 10 a.m. local weather forecast, more brains than the Playbus wide bird stock, and significantly more groceries in it than Kilroy.
And it is my best programme at the moment. You know how I said to you a couple of weeks ago that when I am at the checkout and I do hear that beep, the sad thing is I do start trying to imagine the fun I could be having on Supermarket Sweep. Well, it's actually got worse. Now I've started thinking about Supermarket Sweep when I hear any beep. At Pelican Crossings, in lifts, on my Game Boy, you know. In fact, I have started thinking about Supermarket Sweep when I hear any sound at all now.
You, Rich, are a victim of the hypnotic powers of Dale Winton. Only Dale himself is able to break the curse by using his powers to stop beeps making you think of Supermarket Sweep.
Yeah, well, that's very helpful, Stu, isn't it? Like Dale Winton's going to suddenly turn up at Greenwich University.
Well, Rich, it's funny you should say that. Because look what we've got here. It's Dale Winton.
Dale, I don't believe it.
Hello, Richard.
Hello.
Now, Richard, listen. Next time you're at the checkout or anywhere that you hear the beep or any sound at all, don't think about the fun you could be having on Supermarket Sweep.
Great, I'm cured. Thanks very much.
My pleasure,
right,
Richard.
Well, it's great to see you, Dale. Your show is my favourite early morning TV programme of all time, apart from Out of This World and Saved by the Bell. How did you become the host?
Well, Rich, the thing is, I actually am the manager of the supermarket used in Supermarket Sweep. And during the rest of the day, I do run it as a going concern. And I have to open really early at 9:25 to let my shoppers go wild in the aisles for half an hour. But by 10:30, I have to be all cleared up and ready for opening for my normal paying customers. It's a busy day, but I do enjoy it.
Oh, that's great. Would it be possible for me and Stu to come on as contestants?
Yeah. No, Rich, I'm sorry. I'm afraid... All the competitors are regular shoppers who've recently suffered a tragedy or a bereavement or need cheering up in some special, intimate way.
Oh, that's very nice of you, isn't it, for Dale to do that? So who provides you with the £2,000 prize money?
I do, Richard. That's my £2,000.
That's why you hide it so well, then, you miser.
Stuart, be quiet. This Mr. Winton is our guest. What he does is very charitable.
He gets enough free publicity for the Dale Winton supermarket, though, doesn't he?
I don't know about that. Well, I was wondering, you know when you send everyone out for the shopping list of your own, don't you, every day? Today I noticed you've got them to pick a pack of chocolate brownie cake mix, some shower gel and a naan bread. So what sort of evening have you got planned with those three things, I wonder?
Well, actually, they're sort of lines that aren't doing too well,
and I shift them a bit cheaper,
give them publicity, and then they move them.
Great. Well, before you go, Dale, we'd just like to put you to a little Supermarket Sweep-style tester. Earlier today, I went down to my local supermarket, and I bought a 4-pack of Hubba Bubba Lemon Lime Bubble Gum, a tin of asparagus soup, and the new meatloaf compact disc. Now, which, in your opinion, was the most expensive item?
The CD.
Sounds right, but it isn't, is it now? A careless shopper had unfortunately knocked that CD off its display mounting, and it was being sold at a discount price. The soup was actually the most expensive item, bad luck. Dale Winton, thanks. What a nice man Dale is for coming on. I forgot to ask him if he had the phone number of the blonde checkout girl number one, damn it. Have you seen her, Stu? Nice.
Fist of fun.
That was fun.
Fun.
What have you been up to this week then, Rich, apart from watching the old supermarket sweep?
Well, I took my driving test on Monday, actually, and I passed it, first time.
Well done, Rich.
Yeah, but unfortunately, the lessons cost me so much that I'm now unable to afford to buy a car, or any bus or rail tickets, or shoes. Because, you see, apparently, to learn to drive, you can't just have your mate Kevin teach you.
Oh, no.
You need a pedantic, middle-aged man in a grey British School of Motoring jacket-style coat, who keeps his packed lunch of a ham sandwich and a yoghurt in a plastic bag in the glove compartment.
Are you speaking from personal experience at all, then?
I am, actually, yeah. Yesterday we sent a Fist of Fun team out to record a day in the life of Peter, my driving instructor.
I like driving in my car.
I wake up at 7:30 a.m. exactly, and immediately put on my comfortable driving shirt, my comfortable driving slacks, my grey British School of Motoring jacket-style coat and my comfortable driving shoes. Finally, I slip on my Velcro-fastened driving gloves and I'm ready for the day. My first pupil today is Rebecca. This is her first lesson and my driving instructor experience tells me she's a little nervous. Hello there, Rebecca. Everything okay?
Yes.
Now, obviously you understand the basic way you operate a car. I mean, even a tiny child knows that. So, let's see how you get on with the old pulling away. There is a simple procedure to follow when pulling your vehicle away from the curb. It is known as the pulling away from the curb procedure. And it goes like this. Mirror, signal, road ahead. Mirror, road, indicate, mirror, road, mirror, mirror. Road, road, wing mirror, indicate off. Mirror, road, mirror, mirror, indicate signal road. Then one final check of the mirror and the road, and then pull away from the curb. All right, Rebecca?
Or
if you prefer, you can remember it by this simple acronym. Mizrum, rim, rum, ream, meom, rum, izrum, patke. Okay, let's try that then. Come on, quickly, the time is now, do it, come on.
Okay, mirror, signal, road, mirror, road, indicate, road.
What are you doing? What are you doing? You went mirror, signal, road, mirror, road, indicate, road. It's mirror, signal, road, mirror, road, indicate, mirror, road. Mizrum, rim, rum, rim, meom, rum, izrum, patke. Really, listening is easy. Mizrum, rim, rum, rim, meom, rum, izrum, patke. Don't you even know that yet? My nephew Chris knows it already and he's only 16. How old are you?
I'm 28.
28? Oh dear. Can't you even drive yet? I can. Are you stupid, eh? Are you a stupid fool?
No.
Well, why can't you drive then, eh? You can't even drive. It's a bit grey today, isn't it? After my lunch, which I keep in a plastic bag in the old glove compartment, I change my comfortable driving shoes for another pair of comfortable driving shoes, as a morning of driving has made the first pair slightly uncomfortable. My next pupil is Simon. Now, he's a little bit more experienced, so everything should be a little bit more relaxed. You idiot, you stupid fool, you can't even drive. All I want you to do is reverse the car round the corner into a tiny parking space, keeping exactly 3.5 inches from the curb.
Is this in the test?
No, Simon, it isn't in the test. But the test is not the ultimate test.
Look, I just want to have a go at the test. I've had 94 lessons at £16.40 a go. All my friends whose dads taught them said they only need about 12 lessons.
Oh, I see. We think we're ready to take our test, do we, after just 94 lessons? Do we? Well, tell me, Simon, have you, for example, been learning your highway code?
Oh, yes, I have, actually.
Oh, you have? Well, you'll be able to tell me what a red triangle placed on the hard shoulder of the motorway means then, won't you?
It means there's a broken-down vehicle 150 metres further ahead.
Well, that was an easy one to start with, wasn't it? What is the total stopping distance for a car travelling at 60 miles per hour?
240 feet.
I meant in the rain.
480 feet.
What Act of Parliament controls the licensing of vehicles?
It's the Vehicle Excise in Brackets Act.
Right. Born in York in 1943, I was the inventor of the Velcro fastening textured suede driving glove with the round hole in the palm area. Who am I? Quickly!
That's not in a highway code.
Oh, yes it is, Mr. Harris. Rule 87, paragraph 4. Don't you even know that yet, Mr. Oh, I'm completely ready for my test after only 94 lessons, Harris. Evening time is here, and I like to relax and let me old hair down. So I and the other Clapham Common BSM instructors slip off our comfortable driving shoes, slip off our Velcro-fastened gloves, and pop into the plough for a well-earned drink. We keep our jackets on, though, obviously.
You'll never believe what my pupil did today. He stole...
Ah! yet.
He can't even drive yet, honestly.
I can. My pupil travelled at 31 miles per hour in a built-up area.
I hope you asked him if he was aware there is a national speed limit.
Of course I did.
Am I round, I believe?
No, it isn't. It's John's round, yes. Mike. Don't you even know the getting around procedure yet? I do. The instructor to the left of the first instructor.
The end of another driving-filled day. Well, not quite. Lastly, I lay all my money I have made from the non-driving idiots on the floor and roll around in it naked. Apart from my comfortable driving shoes and my Velcro-fastened gloves. And think of all the other fools who have to give me all their savings just because they can't drive. Ooh, ah, ooh, ha, 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 I can drive.
Fun.
Now it's time for our first natural break, which once again means our old friend Peter Bainham has brought his hideous stink into the studio. If you can imagine that the Elephant Man has impregnated a tiny novelty gonk with his seed, and that the resulting child has somehow crawled its way against all odds into adulthood, then you've just imagined the real life of our Lifestyle Tips contributor. He's Welsh, but he lives in Balham. It's Peter Bainham.
Hello, I'm Peter, and I'm back with some more ideas and recipes from me and my brother Charlie, such as this delightful and unusual combination of ingredients, liver crumble. The ideas are for everyone, but especially today's single man of 30 who lives in Balham and who Richard and Stuart hit in the face after last week's show. Right, my first recipe is one that's very easy to make as the cold winter nights draw in. What you do is take a couple of beef and onion pies, which you can get from any good petrol station, and stick a fork in each pie, like that, and in the other one, like that. Then leave them outside overnight. Then in the morning, pie lollies. And if a bird or something's been sick on them in the night, just run them under the tap and then lick them. It's very nice. Next, here's a simple suggestion for keeping warm during the day. Put another quilt on the bed. My next recipe is a nice one, and it's called Budget Fun Birthday Cake. I made this for Charlie, who was 37 in July, though he looks about 100 from the neck up and 2 from the neck down. Anyway, for this, what you'll need is a loaf of unsliced white bread, a pen, a tube of toothpaste, a cigarette, and a passport photo of your brother Charlie. What you do is take the bread out of the packet, which I did earlier, and then you draw windows and a door on the bread, like that. There you go. Isn't that nice there? And then you use the toothpaste to make icing on top of the bread like that. That's lovely. And that's, I'm to make a drain pipe down the side with it as well. Then take the passport photo of Charlie and lick it and stick it on one of the windows like that. And then you've got Charlie there looking out of the house wondering where he's going to live next week. Then finally, make a hole in the top of the bread, light the cigarette, and put it in the top of the bread house, like that. That's a realistic-looking chimbley there, on the top. Next, I want to talk about something which you can get from most newsagents. They're a firm, delicious, nourishing meal. They're easy to prepare, and everybody loves them. Yes, extra-strong mints. But I bet you didn't know that there are many exciting uses for extras. That's what I call them. Other than just putting them in your mouth and crunching them up really quickly. Number one, cheap sleeping tablets. Extra strong mints look exactly like big tablets and do actually help you sleep. Some doctors might disagree, but I eat loads of extra strong mints and I'm always tired. So there you go. Next, after you've just eaten a whole tin of curry powder, you might also need some toilet paper to stop your mouth bleeding. Next, a stick of rock's nice, isn't it? But the seaside's obviously far too expensive, and we get frightened on the train. So what you do is you take a packet of extra strong mints, remove the wrapping, and write Balham on each one, and then stick them all together with a little dab of super glue. And there you've got Ballam Rock. Right, that's all from me for the moment, but before I go, here's another lifestyle tip for something I'm sure we all suffer from. What to do if you sniff a lot like this. In public, and you don't know you're doing it, but complete strangers on the bus sort of come up and offer you tissues. Well, what you do is when you're going, clap at the same time. And that should work. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Peter.
Thought for the week. Princess Di's personal detective has been assigned to other duties because the palace felt that he had become like a father to the little princes, Harry and Wills. He spent all the time he was meant to be with them, 500 miles away, shooting small animals in Scotland and then shagging his mate's wives.
As travelling comedians, me and Stu virtually live on the road, like Jack Kerouac, Neil Cassidy and other cool beatnik figures from the past.
No, that's wrong, Rich. We live in Tooting, in a slug-infested house, with Michael Cosgrave, who works at the Institute of Metal, don't we?
Oh, yes, I forgot.
Anyway, nevertheless, we do get to stay at some of Britain's quite good hotels. Last year, we were at a 4-star hotel in Glasgow, and we were surprised to learn that there was a pornographic film channel available direct to all guests' rooms. But oh dear, what a disappointment it was. It was so bad, in fact, that I wrote a letter of complaint about it to the hotel, and then later on, I spoke on the phone to the Stackis Hotel group manager, Alec Padgett, about the pornographic film service available on offer in Britain's hotels. Welcome to the Hotel California.
Such a lovely place. Good afternoon, can I help you?
Yep, can I speak to Mr. Alec Padgett, please?
May I ask who's calling?
Yeah, Stuart Lee from Fist of Fun.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Padgett.
Good morning, hi.
Cheers. Well, I just wanted to have a word with you about, you know, the adult entertainment channel. On the whole, we found the experience of the hotel to be great. You know, the really good beds and everything.
Yeah, sure,
and the food
good,
was very nice.
Good. I'm pleased to hear that.
But I was disappointed by the adult movie channel because, yes. You know, you tuned in and it was just a sort of succession of blurred images of people in sort of tight vests.
Well, the package that we provide in our hotels is provided entirely by Granada. All of 3,750 rooms.
Wow, so there's 3,750 opportunities to watch adult entertainment in, across the Stackis Hotel group.
Now, we have no way of coming on and saying, Mr. Lee, you're the Granada man, this month we want X, Y, and Z.
Have you watched it yourself?
I've seen it. I have, you know, my views on the matter, of course, in a sense are slightly irrelevant. The demand for it is remarkably high.
But now, does anyone ever come down in the morning and complain and say...
Well, this is the curious thing. Not. What happened? Joe Bloggs goes in, and he says he wants to watch Taxi Girls, whatever that is, and then he sees this very blurred grey snow, which, of course, is what comes before you dial the number.
I think the snow was better than what I saw. It got me more excited. The idea that there might be something interesting lurking within the snow. What do you personally think that you should show on the Adult Entertainment Channel, then? The thing is, it's a developing art form, you know.
If we found that we had a large number of our customers knocking on the door saying, look, this is a load of bull, we want X or Y or whatever, we would be doing...
Realistically, though, if you were in the restaurant and you were offering food cooked in a very old-fashioned sort of 19th century way, where it was just been done in some charcoal or something, and wasn't up to date, people would say, no, you know, I want something that's been cooked on electric
oven. You're right.
If you're going to offer like the other quality things that you do, the pornography should be good as well. You should get onto Granada, the suppliers, and say to them, we're not happy with the pornography in Stackis Hotels.
I understand where you're coming from. I also have the difficulty of, A, not being sufficiently knowledgeable about it, and B, not really having...
Well, I'm happy to advise you. I've put research into it.
I take on board what you say. I will see what his response to this is.
Oh, well, thanks very much for talking to us anyway.
Okay.
And do get back to us if you need any help on...
I will indeed. Now that we know we are, we'll keep that.
Okay, thanks very much. Bye.
So, clearly there's a chance for us to do something about this, because he said if enough people complain, they will... change everything.
Yeah, we thought we'd find out what you want from pornography, and then we'll get a big petition and send it off to the Stackis Hotel group.
So who watches pornography here? I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
You're David Derrick. My God, I was at school with him.
Oh, nice.
Rich!
Yeah. You didn't know, but tonight here at Greenwich University, this is your life.
What? And David Derrick's the only person who's prepared to come along and see me, Anna.
We had
an amusing nickname for you, David. Do you remember what it was? We called you Derrick David. Clever, that was. Well, you come from Cheddar in Somerset. You must watch a lot of pornography. There's nothing else to do, so...
From what I've seen of it, it's very interesting.
It order should be, you know, aiming for sort of feminist pornography, high quality animal lovers, as you and I will know all about.
Well, I think, Rich, I mean, if you're not happy with the standard of what's available, why not go out and make your own?
What do our cast think about this?
John Thompson, what's your experience been, John, of pornography in British hotels?
Well, poor, really. I think the options open to us should be hardcore on demand.
Right.
How would that work in practice?
You check into your hotel and just say, I'd like something a bit more meatier. Right. You know, because you're going to get drunk later and eat the salted nuts out of the minibar anyway, so...
What does Dale think, I wonder?
I didn't tell you how I started in show business, did I? As long as you don't show any of my films, I don't care.
You in that one with Peter Duncan in it? All right, well, let's have a vote. Who thinks you should have higher quality pornography in our hotels? Yeah! I hope you're listening, the Stackis Hotel.
Well, we'll be sending that in the post to Mr. Padgett, seeing as he said I was the only person that's complained about it.
It's you and Ingrid. David Derrick.
Me and David Derrick.
It's really good fun.
Now it's time for our Fist of Fun review. What do critics like, you know, Barry Norman or Mariella Frostrup know about what ordinary people find entertaining? I know I find Mariella Frostrup rather entertaining, for example. She doesn't review that, does she? They know nothing. Our Fist of Fun reviewer is Graham Haynes, who every day sits in the Windmill Pub in Clapham Common, South London, drinking a lot and giving his opinions about things in a very loud voice. So we thought we'd get him along on the show. Will you please welcome Graham Haynes?
Fist of Fun review.
Hello, Graham. Thanks for coming on. How are you, anyway?
Oh, well, can't complain. Well, I could not, but you wouldn't listen. No, thanks for having us along, anyway. Are you all right for a drink, Rich, do you?
Yeah, fine. Thanks, Graham. Yeah,
so, anyway, what have you been to see for us this week?
Well, this week, I went along to the brand-new Warner West End Cinema in London to see Quentin Tarantino's latest film, True Romance. Right. Now, it's the story of an Elvis-mad Detroit comic store assistant who kills a pimp, played by Gary Oldman, of Count Dracula fame, Francis Ford Coppola.
Right, so what did you think of the film?
Well, I didn't really get to see it. I spent most of the time in a bar, you know, the new cinema bar. You never guess this. Do you know how much a can of Red Stripe is in there? Go on, have a guess.
Well, a pound, Graham.
Pound? You're joking, aren't you? No, that's what you'd expect, you know, about £1, £1.20 for a can of beer. You know, that'd be fair, but no.
Well, was it about £1.50?
Come on, you're having a laugh, ain't ya? No, if only it had been. It was £2.10 for just one ordinary size can of Red Stripe.
I don't believe it.
£2.10 it was. I mean, if you had the price of the ticket, £9 to that, if I'd been in a windmill, what, I could have had, what, 7.5 pints of that? Fine. Not, you know, 7.5 pints, mine, not 500mm cans.
So, great. True Romance, a hit or a miss?
A miss, Stuart. A miss. £2.10.
£2.10. Come on. I believe you also went to look at some art for us, didn't you, Greg?
That's right. I went to see the feminist art exhibition, Bad Girls, at the Institute of Contemporary Arts on Pall Mall, London, which asks, amongst other questions, if modern women are being duped by a traditional male idea of romantic love.
That sounds very interesting, Graham. What did you think of that, then?
Well, I didn't get to see any of it, really, Stu. I spent most of my time in the RCA bar, and guess what, right? A bottle of Alston Export, right? What? How much? Go on, have a guess.
Well, what, a pound, sir?
A pound? No! What, a pound, Stuart?
£1.70.
Well, if only it had been. Well, come on.
£2.
£2? Don't make me laugh! I wish it had been £2. £3.10?
No.
£3.10. For an ordinary bottle of Alston Export. Now, add on to that the price of membership, right? Of the Institute of Contemporary Arts, right? That's another pound. Price of the exhibition catalogue, that's a tenner. That's £14.10, right? For one afternoon's entertainment, right? Back in the windmill in Clapham. 6 pints, 2 games of pool, and a go on a fruit machine for that.
So, great, Bad Girls at the ICA. A hit or a miss?
A miss, sorry. A miss. £14.10, you know, I ask you.
And I believe you also went along to the theatre for us this week.
That's right. I flew to the Black Theatre in Prague in the Czechoslovakian Republic to see their production, The Flying Bicycle.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that's about an inventor, a beautiful girl, and Cupid's attempts to unite them in a visual feast of illusion.
What did you make of that fascinating theatrical technique, Ray?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I spent most of my night in a theatre cum bar cafeteria. You know, but how much was a bottle of genuine Czech Budweiser, Bud Bar?
A pound?
No.
Well, £1.50, Graham.
No.
£2.
No, Richard, it wasn't £2. It was approximately 50 pence. 50 pence! Right? For 2/3 of a litre, which is incredibly good value. Yeah. Now the Czechs put English theatre to shame.
So, the Flying Bicycle a hit, I should imagine.
No, Richard, no. You see, if you add to the 50 pence the cost of the theatre admission, that's £8 in English money, right? The cost of the return flight to and from Prague, that's a shocking £348, that is. British Airways, though, free drink, mine. Yeah. Now, oh, yes. Now, you see, all that tied up in an evening in the windmill on Clapham Common, now, that would have made more financial sense. Plus the fact I could have had stimulating conversation in English and not the ridiculous gobbledygook they all seem to prattle on about in Cheggers of Etia. It's a miss, I'm afraid, a miss.
Right, so we'll be seeing you again next week then, Gray.
Of course, definitely. Six canes?
Yeah, they're in the room at the back. Yeah, that's
all right. Three?
Yeah, they are.
Lovely.
Thought for the week. A woman has made the unbelievable claim that during his heroin phase in the mid-1980s, Boy George fathered her child. What a terrible drug heroin must be if it can make you confuse a woman's vagina with a man's arse.
Ooh. I'm with the boo. You can't put that out on the radio, can you? There's no way
Wouldn't
we can put that. No way. Anyway, pop star sexuality is big news these days. Did you see that interview a couple of weeks ago with a singer from Suede, where he said that even though he had never had sex with a man, he was theoretically bisexual?
Yeah, and it's good to hear that, because although I was not born in the country of Spain, I like to think that I am theoretically Spanish.
Yeah, and although I am a human being, have no feathers and live on the land, I like to think that I'm theoretically an aquatic bird, such as the puffin, maybe. I am a theoretical puffin.
Best of fun. This.
Now it's time for the end of the show. For as usual, it's time for us to get into our big comedy bed until next week's show. In you get, Stu, and John, you get in too.
Hello.
John, tell me, what are you up to apart from doing this at the moment?
Well, at the moment, I'm working on a feature film with Tom Cruise called Interview the Vampire.
Right.
That's my next project.
Right. Mm. Well, according to my notes here, John, that is actually just a ruse, an attempt for you to try and score here tonight.
It's absolutely true, Richard.
Right, I see.
And join us in our bed, please, Rekha Front. Hello, Rekha.
Thank you.
Have you enjoyed doing the show tonight?
Well, I mean, I only did a few bits, really. I get to do more on Noel's house party.
Yeah, sorry about that.
We're not very good at writing bits for girls, actually.
No, and will you please welcome Pete Bainham. Hello, Pete.
Just wondering, you live in Tooting, don't you?
I live in Tooting, yeah.
Yeah, because I live in Balham, and I was wondering if you wanted to share a cab back tonight.
No, because Balham's nowhere near Tooting.
No, I thought it was only about a mile away.
No, it's about 20 miles from there.
You'll have to get one of our own.
Shall I just walk home?
You walk back,
there's
we'll
not
go.
Any room for you anyway. Right. And of course, everyone, we couldn't forget, could we, the lovely Dale Winton. Yeah. Very good. There's one thing, another thing I forgot to ask you. Bobby Bragg on your show, he does the voiceovers on, when people are running around the supermarket. Why does he find everything so amusing, you know?
Well, I'll let you into a little secret. Yeah. If you look aisle 9, where it's the home remedies, and we're very low on night nurse.
I see.
A lot of night nurse.
Mr. Bum was recorded on the Radio 1-4 comedy tour as part of the National Comedy Network.
And remember, everyone, next time you're at the checkout and you hear the beep, think of the fun you could be having on Lee and Herring's Fist of Fun Eep.
Nice.
Good night.
Fist of Fun.